Revelation chapter 13, and tonight we're looking at 666, the mark of the beast. And we'll start reading in verse 16 of Revelation chapter 13, and it says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you to all of those that have joined with us tonight live, Lord. I just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Pray that you'd help us have an understanding of a subject that is so misunderstood today, Lord. Help us to recognise that whilst there are developments going on in the world today, that the mark of the beast is not something that we as believers should be concerned about right now, having to accept or reject that mark. But it is something that will certainly take place during the tribulation. So help us to have that understanding, help us to take comfort from that fact, but help us to recognise that the technology and the means is there today for this to take place. So Father, I just pray now, Lord, that as we gather around your word, you would speak to our hearts in such an incredible way that we'd be mindful to thank you and to give you all the glory, the honour and the praise for what you've done in our lives. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I think the world is fascinated with the number 666. Some are superstitious about it, and some are blasé about it. The amount of license plates that I notice that has that number, almost to, I don't know, brag about it. Then there are some people, I don't know if you've ever done this, if you've had somebody ring up the cash register and you've bought some goods and the price comes to £6.66. Maybe you've had somebody say to you, "Oh, do you want to buy something else just to take it away from that number 666? Now, it's not a number that we as believers should be superstitious about. It's not a number that we should be frightened about. But the Lord has told us to recognize that number and who is represented by that number. So the false prophet will require that everybody take a mark in their hand or their forehead, and failure to do this would mean that you would not be able to buy or sell anything. And the number that is associated with the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, is 666. So what is this number all about and what does it mean? Well, we know in scripture Bible numbers play a great part, you know, to have a number represent something. One being the number of unity, two, the number of testimony, three, the number of completion, four, the number of creation, again, just quickly with number four, northeast, southwest, earth, wind, northeast, southwest, four is the number of the earth, four dimensions, sorry, that's what I was thinking of, five, the number of grace, six, the number of man, seven, the number of spiritual perfection. And we are told, it's highlighted again here, that the number six is the number of man. 666. If you think about it, man was created on the sixth day. The sixth sin, that of murder, is one of the most destructive sins. Six being the number of imperfection. If number seven is God's perfect number, then number six just falls short of that perfect number. And John said that the number of the beast was 666, if you like, the number of triple imperfection. If Christ is the embodiment of everything that is perfect, if he's the embodiment of perfection and truth and grace, and then the Antichrist is the exact opposite of that. And Alice Bailey, the modern day founder of the New Age movement, stated in her book, "The externalization of the hierarchy, that the number 666 stands for Shambhala, or hell, Satan's kingdom." She said, "You are sealed to his kingdom by the number 666. And that is the belief of those who worship Lucifer." So what then is this number and this mark all about according to the Bible? What is the meaning of this passage? How will the Antichrist control the buying and the selling? And do we find any evidence of the number 666 today? So what does the Bible say, first of all, about 666? Well, listen, we want to look at a few different passages which we'll try and do quickly. So the first mention we have is the passage that we just read, that it is the number of the beast, it is the number of man, and his number is 666. So if you look at Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9, it says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand." And then if you go down to verse 11, it says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoso receiveth the mark of his name." If you look at verse 15, chapter 15 and verse 2, it talks about there being a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name. And then if you look at chapter 16 and verse 2, it says, "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievesome sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image." If you look at chapter 19 and verse 20, it says that the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These were cast alive into the lake of fire. And then finally, Revelation 20 and verse 4, it says that "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had they received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So here we see that this mark is personally associated, and it is symbolic of the beast or the Antichrist. This mark says that no man might buy or sell unless they have this mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And it says that nobody can buy or sell unless they have the mark, unless they have the name of the beast, or unless they have the number of his name. And the Bible speaks of receiving this mark in the hand or in the forehead. It doesn't speak of receiving the name of the beast or the number of his name. And for this reason, it's possible to conclude that they're all the same thing. So when it says that they had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, all can mean an explanation of the same thing in different words, which means they all mean the same thing. God's wrath will be upon all of those that have received the mark. And as we saw, they will be tormented in the lake of fire. They will be the ones who would have passed that point of no return. Once they receive that mark, there is no going back then and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. It's possible that the fact that the mark is the personal number of the Antichrist's name caused some Bible scholars to conclude that the outward mark could be branded on the hand or the forehead, and that mark will be some form of 666 or the name of the Antichrist. The Greek word for mark is the word tagama, which means a scratch or an etching, to be branded. And the reason people take this mark is not just to buy or sell. If you notice all of those verses that we read earlier, it talked about worshipping the beast. A lot of idolaters will put marks upon them to worship their particular deity. Revelation 49 talked about if any man worship the beast and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand. Revelation 14:11 says that they rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image and who receiveth the mark of his name. So again, in those verses that we read, it all receiving this mark also had to do with worshipping the beast. Satan, through the Antichrist, will desire the worship of the world. He wants to be God. His main purpose for the mark is in order to receive the worship of men. It might not be initially to control them, but that's exactly what happens then when they receive this mark. It'll be a symbol of allegiance and worship. But the second purpose then, it will control men and will determine who is able to buy or sell. And if you think about it, you know, we've all received some kind of a mark, as it were. We've all been reduced to a number. Each and every one of us has a passport or a driving license or a national insurance number. In the States, they have a social security number, which all has a number. I remember when our new passports came through, when we went to the e-passports, they came with a little chip in them. And when we first had them, Joe, my wife, opened the envelope to get my passport out, and she suddenly gasped. And I was like, what's the matter? She said, you know these new passports have got a chip in them? I was like, yeah. She said, well, the chip is on one page and your photo is on the other page and the chip is in the centre of your forehead on your photo. I was like, what? Are you serious? And then she burst out laughing and she thought it was really funny. But it was as interesting to have a panic for that moment to think that on the passport that chip would be in the centre of my head. But anyway, what is this mark and what is it about? So first of all, in verse 16, we see that it's a mark of identification. And there's been much speculation to what the mark of the beast might be. Will it be a barcode? I remember when barcodes, pastors talking about when barcodes first came out, that there was a bit of an uproar. Because if you notice on a barcode, there are three, I know this is going to sound daft, but there are three double lines. And under those three double lines, there are no numbers. And apparently somebody said that those double net lines represent a six. So you can see then the barcode is potentially 666. So some people believe that it might be a barcode system tattooed into the skin, because the word mark references a scratching. But it is also that the karguma, the Greek word, is also from a root word which means protection or represent something that is fenced. So that's why a lot of people think it could be a barcode tattooed into the skin. It could be, even invisible to the naked eye. If you've ever been to a theme park and you've left the theme park, sometimes they used to stamp your hand and it was invisible. And when you came back into the park, then you put in under an ultraviolet light, then the stamp would be on your hand. It might be something like that. We know that RFID chips are the big thing today. They're chips that are the size of a grain of rice, and they can carry all kinds of information, whether it's medical information, financial information, and they can be read with a simple scanner. And I know that certain companies, and I was reading up on this again this week, and I've had countless discussions about RFID chips with one of our deacons. And it's possible that you could have this you could have this chip in your hand. You could walk into the shop. Everything in the shop has got those chips implanted in them. And as you walk through the door going out of the shop, it knows in your chip. It knows what you've got in your basket, and then it just suddenly debits your credit or whatever it is because of the GPS tracking and all the information that it holds. And people are already putting those chips in their pets. Rich people are putting them in their children to protect against kidnapping. It's technology is advanced. You've already got fingerprint technology. You look now how you unlock your phones. Facial recognition, where you just look at your phone and your phone unlocks. So, you see that technology is already there. We've noticed now with this pandemic, people are afraid to touch your cash. So lots of places and not accepting cash anymore. They're only accepting contactless payment to pay with the credit card. And think about it, what if somebody came out today now and everybody's frightened about touching anything? If somebody came out today now and said, look, I've got a clip of the system, you don't have to touch cash anymore, so you haven't got to worry about this coronavirus passing to you because somebody else has handled this cash, and you know, you've just got to, you can walk into the shop, you can walk out, and then everything will automatically be taken from your bank account. In a moment like this, people would say, that's a brilliant idea. And there will come a time that type of thing will happen. While we can't be for sure what the mark of the beast is, we can certainly know how it will be utilized in the days that we are looking at. Because it says in verse 16 that he causeth all. The word causeth there in the Greek means to force. All people, all classes will be required to have this mark in their bodies. Everybody, from the most common of men to the most famous of celebrities, will have to bear this mark in their bodies. It'll be a universal mark. For once in this world, there will be no favoritism. There'll be no discrimination. Everybody from the down and out to the up and coming will receive this mark of the beast. And this mark is in the hand, in the right hand or in the forehead. The word mark again comes from that word, which means a stamp, imprint, something that's carved. And whatever this mark is, it will be in the flesh and it will be permanent. People will not be able to alter it, and they won't be able to counterfeit it. It'll be in a place where it could be easily seen. And it says that no man, in verse 17, might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark. He that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So he causeth all. And this is referring to the false prophet. He is the one that causes the world to worship the Antichrist. He's the one that causes the image of the Antichrist to move and to speak. He is the one in charge of the one world religion that will dominate the world during the tribulation. And he will devise this marking system and see that it is, and will oversee it being carried out. And it might help us to understand what this mark might entail if we look at the day in which this scripture was written. If you go back to John's day when this was written on the Isle of Patmos, and we consider the Roman world, in the Roman world there were millions of slaves, and a slave would be marked by his master with either a brand or a tattoo, whether it be a symbol or a number. And it was Roman law for those people who were branded to worship the emperor. And the emperors declared themselves as a deity, and they demanded the worship of the subject. And that's why thousands of Christians were put to death during all throughout the Roman Empire. The citizens would take a pinch of incense, place it on a flaming altar, and say, "Caesar is God." And the worshipper would then receive, would receive a mark signifying that he'd fulfilled his duty to the emperor. And that's what it boils down to. The devil wants to be worshipped, and he will receive that worship, and those that worship the devil will receive this mark. It is their statement of their allegiance to him. So this mark is not only a mark of identification, but it's also a mark of isolation. Because it says in verse 17 that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So people will be required to produce this mark in order to buy or sell. And that in itself would be a great enticement for people to receive that mark. In order for them to hold a job, in order for them to get credit, to access bank accounts, to do anything as mundane as buy a loaf of bread, will require people to have this mark. And imagine, you know, what that might involve. Maybe a young mother going to the shop to buy food or milk for a baby. She doesn't have the mark of the beast, so therefore she's not allowed to purchase any products, or somebody's stopping for petrol, doesn't have the mark, is not allowed to buy. And those who don't have the mark are not able to purchase any credits, as it were, for utilities, or they can't buy or sell anything. And the mark will instantly divide the world into two camps. The mark of the beast will declare all of those who worship the Antichrist and all of those who do not. And so therefore it proves to be a mark of isolation. And this mark, the Antichrist, will use the mark of the beast to control the world. Everything during the time of the tribulation will be controlled. Whether it is food, housing, medicine, medical care, all will be dispensed only to those that have the mark. And you think about it today, you know, we're living in a day of uncertainty, and with this pandemic, you know, what if the government said to us now, you can go back to your normal life, and, you know, we'll register you, as it were, to say that you were free from the coronavirus, so you can, you know, you can now go out and carry on your life as normal. And, you know, if in the time of the tribulation, that will be tempting to receive that mark. There'll be a great incentive to receive that mark. But thankfully, there will be thousands that will refuse to accept the mark of the beast, because the 144,000 Jewish evangelists won't take that mark, and their converts, those who've trusted Christ as their Savior during the tribulation, will refuse to take that mark. And because of that, there will be thousands beheaded because they reject the ministry of the false prophet, they reject the worship of the Antichrist, and they pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God. They won't be able to buy food. They won't be able to have any clothing or medicine. And, you know, we go back to what the Lord said then in his Olivet Discourse, that if you saw me naked and clothed me, and I was hungry and you fed me, and thirsty and you gave me drink, and the Lord said, when did we do this? When you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And this is the time period that the Lord is talking about. Those who don't have the mark will be refused medical treatment. And many, no doubt, will starve to death. But I have no doubt that the Lord will provide for those that are his as well, because they don't want to dishonor the name of the Lord. And these people will be persecuted during that time. It says in verse 15, he gave power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And people will pay a terrible price for not receiving the mark of the beast. But here's the thing. They will receive a far greater reward in heaven because of their refusal to bow down to the devil. You know, we're not persecuted for our faith today, but we are marked people. You know, people do dislike us because the world has a hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. The world dislikes those who are morally upright. If we take a stand for what we believe is morally correct, then we are just accused of being bigoted, or we're accused of, you know, just being narrow-minded. So those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, are not a liked people today. There is a hatred for the things of God today. There is a venom when it comes to talking about the Lord today. But that hatred will just intensify the closer we get to the Lord's return. You know, so don't be surprised when the persecution of the believer increases. Don't be surprised when, you know, the believer's rights, as it were, are reduced more and more. Because the closer we get to the end, it's almost as if the bolder the devil becomes in the way in which things are taking place in the world today. And we do need to continue to take a stand for the Lord today. In spite of what is going on in the world, we need to be faithful. You know, we need to take a stand for the Lord. And you might say, well, I don't know if I can do it when the time comes. Can I say this? When the time comes to stand, the Lord will give you the grace you need to stand when you need to stand. Anyway, I'm getting off point. So it's a mark of identification. It's a mark of isolation. And finally, it's a mark of information. Here it is, wisdom, he says in verse 18. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So we are told that the mark is tied to a number, and the number is tied to the name of the beast. And this has led to some real speculation over the years. Now, in ancient times, values were given to words, or to letters, I should say, sorry. So it was used something called a gematria, which is the ancient form of numerology. A number is assigned to each letter of the alphabet. Those then, when added up, so, you know, if A is 1 and B is 2 and so on and so forth, then you could basically get any name to make any kind of number. And people who believe in such things have come up with numerical equivalents in names which add up to 666. And people have used this system to propose many different possibilities to who the Antichrist might be. They've taken names, they've added up the numerical value and declared that this person is the Antichrist. They've suggested people like Adolf Hitler, Napoleon Bonaparte, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, George Bush. Back in the 1980s, it was thought that Mikhail Gorbachev was the Antichrist because of that huge birthmark that he had on his head. And the fact is this, we don't know who the Antichrist is. We can do all sorts of numerical gymnastics, and we can still be in the dark concerning his identity. The Bible speaks of the swiftness of his rise to power. So it's not somebody that we're going to turn around and think, oh yeah, of course, we thought it would be him. It's going to be somebody that comes on the scene very quickly. I know there's lots of people who believe in a mid-trib rapture, and have written all kinds of books, you know, detailing that we can know who the Antichrist is. But here's the thing: for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord returns for His church before the tribulation starts. So we are not going to know who the Antichrist is. So we can come up with all kinds of speculation that we want, but we don't know his identity. The important thing is this, that right the way throughout the Old Testament, the Lord told us the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he would be, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would be called Emmanuel, God with us, that he would die upon the cross. So he gave us all the information that we needed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. All we know about the beast is that his number is the number of man. His number is 666, as we said earlier, the number of man. Short of the perfect number, number 7. And the Antichrist, if you like, will be the pinnacle of human achievement, maybe the brightest and most powerful human the world has ever seen outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be a remarkable man, but he will still fall short of completion and perfection. And his number declares that deficiency. Man, as we said, is represented by the number 6, and God's number is number 7. 7 speaks of completion and perfection. God is perfect and complete. When you speak, whether you're speaking of the Father, whether you're speaking of the Son, whether you're speaking of the Holy Spirit, that number, is, if you like, is 777. Satan, if you like, is an unholy trinity. He can never compete with God, and at his best will always fall short. 666. Like I said, there's a fascination with that number today, and you think, well, why, you know, does he choose that number? Is it a number that's assigned to him by God already? If the Antichrist is the ruler of the world, you know, maybe he has chosen that number. And maybe he does that to stand in defiance of God. After all, the Lord has declared that the devil Superman will wear that number and be defeated. And this might just be the number for God's people, so that those who are alive and have trusted Christ even in the time of the tribulation will recognize him when he comes. But it, whatever happens, it declares his name and his nature. So you might say, well, what can we take away from all of that? What is the, you know, yes, we understand this is going to happen in the tribulation, that people are going to have receive the mark of the beast, and it's going to be in some association with 666. But what can we take away from that? What you need to understand today is this, that Satan always marks his people. To Satan, if you like, his followers are just a number. Can I say this? Satan marks his people and they are just a number. But our Saviour was marked for us that we might not be a number, but that we might have a new name. You know, he knows us by name. You know, it was always frustrating, you know, sometimes, and I don't know if you've used this expression before, that, you know, when you didn't work, you're just a number. You're not important. You're just a number to somebody. But that's not the case with Christ. Christ knows you by name. He knows every hair upon your head. He knows every thought of your heart. He knows every thought and intent of your heart. Satan marks, but God seals. We are told that we are sealed unto the day of our redemption. That's the earnest of our inheritance. We've been sealed with that promise, that with the Holy Spirit. Satan marks those who give themselves to him, but God seals those who come to him in faith through Christ. He seals them for himself. He seals them for all eternity. You know, there are some terrible days coming on this earth. Can I say this to you? You know, people are getting all bent out of shape. Ah, oh, this, you know, this vaccine and Bill Gates, and that's going to be the mark of the beast. That we're not going to see the mark of the beast in our lifetime. Now, everything is there in preparation for it, so you can see how, you know, that could take place during the tribulation. Everything is there ready, and it's always the same in throughout history. Whenever anything has been prophesied, there has been a dry run. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ talked about when Daniel spoke of the desecration of the temple, when he's looking forward to the Antichrist doing that in the midpoint of the tribulation, desecrating the temple and, you know, setting himself up as God. Well, Antiochus Epiphanes did that during the Greek Empire. He went into Jerusalem and set himself up in the temple in Jerusalem and offered a swine on the altar and desecrated the temple. That may have had a partial fulfillment in Daniel's prophecy, but the future fulfillment, the final fulfillment, is talking about the Antichrist. So whilst the technology may be there today, and we might see aspects of what might come in terms of this mark, if you were a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you ought not to be at the point where you're thinking, oh no, you know, do I refuse this because am I accepting the mark of the beast? We're not at that point yet. Every one of these people who take the mark of the beast, we're told in Revelation 14, 9-12, that they will worship Satan, and they cannot then be saved. If they bow to Satan, they'll be lost forever. For those of us who know Christ as our Saviour, we can't do that. But can I say this to you today? If you've never trusted Christ as your Saviour, you know, then you need to put that right. That needs to be something that, you know, that you know 100% that you have nothing to worry about. If you come to God, God will never mark you. He'll seal you. And he knows you by name. What would you rather have? Would you rather have a name or a number? And I'm thankful that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm thankful that my name is there for all eternity and that no man would pluck me out of the Father's hand. Can I ask you this? Do you know him as your Saviour? You know, maybe you were looking around in the world today and you were worried about what's going on. And yes, we see lots of difficulties in the world. We see, if you like, a dress rehearsal for what might be coming further on down the road. But we just need to trust God. We need to trust that he knows what he's doing. We've read the book. We know what happens in the end. So let's not lose heart. Let's not be discouraged when we think, oh no, you know, the Bill Gates has created this. Oh no, you know, the Antichrist could be him. Oh no, let's not focus on that. We have to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what's going to happen in the end, but until then, All we can do is tell people about the Lord. There's a lot of scared people in the world today. There's a lot of people asking questions that they've not asked before. There's a lot of frightened people who've suddenly started asking about the things of God, about church and about heaven. So let's be faithful in witnessing to them. Let's be faithful in telling them, you know, what the Lord has done for them. And let's just remind ourselves continually, Satan marks God's seals. To those who belong to Satan, they're just a number. To those who belong to God, he knows your name. And he's given you a new name. You know, when people mention your name today, they associate all of you are past with that name. But in heaven, you have a new name. So what does that mean? There is no sin at all associated with that new name in heaven. That's what the blood of Christ does. It removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, to the point where God remembers our sin no more. Can I say this? What a saviour. Do you know him? Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together today. Father, I just pray that you'd help us to understand what we've looked at tonight, Lord, to not be frightened with what's going on in the world today, to not be fearful that we might come to a point where we have to make that choice to receive a mark that would cost us our salvation. Nothing can take us out of the Father's hand once we've accepted Christ as our Saviour. So, Father, we know that that's not something that's going to happen to us, but we recognise that the technology is there for that to take place in a day to come. So, Father, would you just continue to help us, speak to our hearts, help us to take encouragement in this day and age in which we live, and to not be fearful about what's going on around and about us. Help us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we'll praise you for it. We love you so much, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. Just to let you know what's coming up in the week. We haven't got a men's message yet to go up tomorrow night, but if we do, if you have a men's message or a testimony, that'll go up at 7 o'clock. On Friday then, our youth have the youth meeting online.